Hello, friends, family in Christ. This episode of Worldview Matters, we're talking about God, creation, marriage, family, civil government. We'll talk about the Supreme Court and some very interesting cases. And it seems like conflicting reports, but there is some good news and there's always some challenging news. Also, why worldview truly does matter. That's coming up.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
So what would our great-grandparents think? Think about that for a moment. All that's happening in the world today in America, think about education, culture, think about corporations, think about Hollywood, oh my goodness, think about our government, right? What would our great-grandparents think? So let me start with the first story. We're in July now, but 10 years ago this June was the horrific decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on, quote, and you got to put this in air quotes, same-sex marriage. Over at Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham wrote an article called Gay Marriage is 10 Years Old and Christian Leaders Are to Blame. What did he mean by that? Well, think about it. We've lost our influence. We've been talking about that because of the declining biblical worldview on this podcast for since the beginning. Where we are, why we are here, how we got here, and what we, meaning the church, Christians, Bible-believing individuals, what we need to do now, how we need to perceive things and understand the times. So let's go back to this article. He says, Ken Ham says, of course, there's really no such thing as gay, quote, marriage, because the Supreme Court of the United States didn't invent marriage. God did. He created, ordained, and defined marriage so that no one, including this land's highest court, has the authority to usurp God's authority and redefine what he created. We also often say you cannot make moral what God has already deemed immoral. But that's what we're seeing happen. What would our great-grandparents think? Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those, it's a warning, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Think about that for a moment. This was written 700 years BC, the book of Isaiah. And he said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We are seeing that in every aspect of our culture and society today. So back to what Ken Ham wrote. And he was basically mentioning a study that he saw based basically Pew Research Center did a study highlighting the growing acceptance of gay marriage. And again, we're putting marriage in air quotes, because marriage as God designed it is not what is being redefined today. It's completely different today. But God defines marriage, man does not. So there's an attempt to redefine it. That's just simply rebellion against God. So this study, 63, I should have asked you to guess, 63% of Americans favor gay marriage, same-sex marriage. Again, going back, let's just say 50 years, what our great-grandparents think. But get this, LGBTQ individuals believe, and listen to this, this is very important. Here's how they're perceiving their progress, right? They're making a lot of progress. LGBTQ individuals believe that it's the church, religious leaders, who have a huge part in dulling the national conscience towards sexual sin. Think about that. What does that mean? That a lot of pastors, way too many pastors, quote, religious leaders in America, do not take a stand on God's word. To us, if you have a true biblical worldview, see that word behind me, worldview matters. If you have a true biblical worldview, you will stand on God's word. That, the Bible, is our final authority, right? refusing to stand on the authority of God's word. That's where the church is today. That's why we see constant polls on the declining biblical worldview. And Ken Ham writes, quote, "There's a definite connection between rejecting a literal Genesis," meaning the book of Genesis, "and then compromising through the rest of Scripture. God's word has warnings for church leaders, for shepherds like these who hold or who lead people astray." And then he quotes Jude 1, verse 4. Let me share that verse again because it's fascinating. It says, For certain people have crept in," meaning crept in the church, "unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ." You think about that. Wait a minute. How does someone sneak into the church and become a leader and then deny God's word, deny Jesus? Look around. How many of you have seen, for example, rainbow flags outside of churches, right? And for those of you listening to the podcast on audio only, I use the air quotes when I say churches. Very interesting times we're living in. We had Scott Lively, Pastor Scott Lively, former attorney, but he's been just fighting the culture war for decades and decades. He made a very interesting point the last time we had him on. When a nation conquers another nation in war, for example, what does that nation do? They plant their flag in the ground of the nation they conquered, meaning this land is ours. This is our territory now. Stop a minute and think about the pride flag, the gay pride flag. Think about how many, for example, I don't care whether it's just June, quote, Pride Month, or any time of year. Think about how many capitals in America, U.S. state capitol buildings, are flying or were flying the gay pride flag. That is symbolic, friends, and that is actually spiritual as well. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those. That's a warning from God. But we've allowed them, the left, the cultural Marxists, the LGBTQ mafia, whoever else you want to put in that category, the Democrats, we've allowed them to plant their gay pride flag, which is, it is a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. I'm just telling you like it is. God's word says so. So great article. Again, Ken Ham brought this up because just 10 years ago, the Supreme Court made that horrific decision. But I want to make the point after I read this quote that the agenda, the demonic agenda, is so deeply rooted, most people might not even be aware how far back it goes. Of course, it goes back to the Old Testament, right? In Scripture, immorality and rebellion against God. Nothing is new under the sun. But I can tell you in America how far back these movements go in a minute. First of all, one final quote. Instead of encouraging people to sink deeper into their sin, it's the job of the church to be salt and light, to be a preserving, flavorful influence, or shining the light of Christ, exposing the darkness, calling people to repentance and faith in Christ with gentleness, patience, and humility. And I'll add to that boldness and truth. Thank you, Ken Ham. So now, one recent article I found that was very relevant to what we're going to talk about today over at the University of Pennsylvania. They are going to revoke trans swimmers' medals and apologize to female athletes in a deal with the White House. This is just interesting how one election has so many consequences, and these are good consequences, friends. There he is. Look at that. Mr. Thomas, right? Did I say that right? Mr. Thomas. But let's look at this. What's going to happen? Now, this is actually a return to truth and common sense. So, wow. So they're revoking Leah. Now, he changed his name to Leah Thomas. The University of Pennsylvania is going to revoke Leah Thomas' fake records and apologize to female athletes to avoid Title IX violation penalties. Let's look at what they're doing. All right, they're going to restore, according to this article and the agreement, the Trump administration struck a deal with. This is just one university now. Just one university. Let me see. Okay, these are small bullet points. The University of Pennsylvania will restore to female athletes all individual Division I swimming records, titles, or similar recognitions which were misappropriated by male athletes allowed to compete in female categories. Next bullet point, UPenn, University of Pennsylvania, will issue a public statement to the university community stating that it will comply with Title IX, specifying that UPenn will not allow males to compete in female athletic programs or occupy Penn Athletics female intimate facilities. Pause right there and ask the question, what would our great-grandparents think about this conversation, about even the subject that we're talking about? If they were just allowed to be alive for 24 hours and see what's going on in America, around the world, of course, but in America, our context here, what would they think? Well, they would be going, why are we even having, what happened? Why are we making these, you know, common sense decisions based on truth now? Why are we talking about this? Next bullet point. The statement will specify that University of Pennsylvania will adopt biology-based definitions for the words male and female pursuant to Title IX and consistent with President Trump's executive orders defending women from gender ideology extremism and, quote, keeping men out of women's sports, end quote. Next, UPenn will post the statement in a prominent location on its main website and each of its websites for women's athletics. They will rescind any guidance which violated Title IX, remove or revise any internal and public-facing statements or documents that are inconsistent with Title IX, and notify all staff and women's athletics of all such recessions, and UPenn will send a personalized letter of apology to each impacted female swimmer. Think about this. This is just one university, and I'll bet there's a whole lot more to come. So this never should have happened in the first place. Men should not compete with women. Boys should not use girls' dressing rooms. How did we get here, right? How did we get here? Before we answer that question, and I'm going to bring up my book, Assault on the Image of God, I've got a chapter. Some of you have the book. It's called Transgender Event Historical Timeline. And you're going to be amazed at how far back this goes, okay? But before we do that, I want to get back to some basics. See the title of the show again, Worldview Matters. I'm going to talk about why worldview matters. And this is in a chapter called Biblical Worldview, Heading for the Cliff. A biblical worldview, let's define it, because let's go back to so people can understand what we're talking about and the perspective, the foundation from which we see culture, actually church, the culture, America, the world. First of all, moral absolutes exist. The source of truth is the Bible, God's inspired word. God is the creator of all things. The Bible is accurate in all the principles it teaches. Salvation is by grace alone through Christ. Jesus pre-existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life on earth, died on a cross, and was resurrected and ascended to the Father. Actually, he was resurrected 3 days later, and then 40 days after that, he ascended to the Father. Now is seated at God's right hand. Back to the bullet points. Believers have a duty to witness. Satan is real and not just a symbol. Heaven and hell are actual places. And God is the sovereign, all-powerful maker and creator of the universe and still rules creation today. These are foundational beliefs as far as a biblical worldview. The person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Word of the living God are all in full agreement, and the Bible is the basis from which we must discern, perceive, and reason. One more thing before we take a break. Since the Bible is true, Christianity does provide compelling answers to four of the ultimate questions of life: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. What do I mean? Four questions. Where do the universe and human beings come from? What is the purpose or meaning of life? How do we know what is right and wrong? What happens to us after we die? Origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. So these are foundational to what is a biblical worldview. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Okay, friends, I mentioned a chapter in my latest book, Assault on the Image of God. This is from chapter 11, entitled Transgender Event Historical Timeline, page 154. Let me ask you to guess. We talked about 10 years ago and the Supreme Court decision striking down same-sex marriage bans across the country. If I remember right, there were 30-some bans in states across the country on same-sex marriage, meaning these 30-some states wanted to protect God-ordained natural marriage between one man and one woman. I think it was 32, but don't quote me on that, but 30-some. So that was 10 years ago when the Supreme Court decided that. Now, when do you suppose the transgender agenda, movement, whatever you want to call it, really got going or came to the surface in the United States? What do you think? You think sexual revolution, 1960s, 1970s, you know, first gay character on primetime television and other things. But what about the T, LGBTQ? What about the T, the transgender? It's been there all along. The year 1945. You're going, wow, no way, David. 1945. Lucy Anderson, he was a biological male. He lived as a socialite in Oxnard, California. He was tried in Ventura County for perjury and fraud. For receiving spousal allotments from the military, as his dressing and presenting as a woman was considered masquerading at that time. He did serve some jail time. That was 1945. Let's jump ahead to 1950. Virginia Prince began living as a woman in San Francisco. He started in the 1940s. And guess what? Virginia Prince worked closely with someone you're going to know or be familiar with, Alfred Kinsey. Wow. Now we're starting to connect some dots to bring attention to transgenderism. 1952, Christine Jorgensen became a celebrity and an advocate for transgenderism. He was the first American to have a sex change, the first American. I think it happened in Sweden, if I'm not mistaken, right around that time. So 1952, you're thinking, okay, how is there more? Yeah, 1953. Hollywood released a film. Ed Wood released a film called Glenn or Glenda. It was a film that dealt with transsexuality and transvestism. All right, I'm going to skip ahead because you're thinking, okay, that was the 1940s and 50s. And then, of course, the Stonewall Inn, the riots in New York City, 1969. But what about the 2015 decision by the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court? Let's jump ahead because I've got a whole chapter on this. This is timeline. 2015, what happened in 2015? Let's see. President Obama was the first U.S. president to mention transgender people in a State of the Union address saying, "That's why we defend free speech and advocate for people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender." Interesting. How about Harvard University? The school's Faculty of Arts and Sciences registration tool expanded the number of pronouns students could use to register to identify as transgender. They could state a preference as Z, her, hers, they, them, theirs, you know, some of the pronouns. Okay, but let's go back. Interesting. Let's go back to 2008. What happened in 2008 that influenced even millions of perhaps, quote, Christian women in America? That would be Oprah. Oprah featured Thomas Beatty, quote, the first pregnant man, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, 2008. Born female, Beatty stated, "Different is normal and love makes a family. That's all that matters." No, truth matters. And, you know, we need to love these people, but we need to tell them the truth. And if you believe the gospel, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through him, but he died for their sins so that they could repent, confess their sins, and believe in him and have eternal life and be saved by faith, then we need to just tell them, share with them the truth. What they do with that is not on us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are messengers of reconciliation. So anyway, there are, I don't know how many of these in this transgender event timeline in my book. There's a little plug for that. Let's talk about some Supreme Court wins recently. This is interesting. The tide is shifting a little bit, but there's conflicting reports. A wonderful day for Supreme Court wins. Recently, there have been four major wins I just want to touch on. First was the Supreme Court instructed district courts to stop the endless nationwide injunctions against President Trump. Now, interesting, you'll love this. The Babylon Bee came up with this meme. The Babylon Bee, I love them. District court issues nationwide injunction against the Supreme Court ruling. Thought that was funny. Number two, the Supreme Court also dropped a massive victory for, you're going to love this, parental rights, a ruling that schools must be required to give parental notification and an opt-out option for LGBTQ plus books in schools. If you knew what kind of pornographic and obscene language and, you know, some of the material, some of the characterizations, the animation is in these books, they shouldn't even be allowed in the government schools, in the public schools, in the libraries or the classroom. Again, what would our great grandparents think? Can you imagine way back at a time where many of them maybe homeschooled or sent their kids to community schools, not the government-run schools. But anyway, let's move on because we're running out of time quickly. Number three, this ruling resulted in a huge victory for the protection of children from obscene online material. So the Supreme Court upheld Texas. They have an age verification law which mandates users provide ID to access porn sites. We need more rulings like this. How about another one, the fourth ruling? This was a temporary, at least, blow to Planned Parenthood. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court upheld South Carolina's ban on using Medicaid funds to reimburse Planned Parenthood services. You know, it is astounding to me. They're a $2 billion-plus dollar enterprise. They receive over $1 billion in revenue every year. They're making record amounts of taxpayer funds and taxpayer dollars. But let's move on now. The Democrats and the mainstream media went into a frenzy over these rulings. But law-abiding, God-fearing American citizens can celebrate at least temporarily. But let's be warned, despite these legal victories, the corruption of our institutions is far from over. So that's just a handful of things. I just want to go back to some bullet points. We've had Mother's Day. We've had Father's Day. We've had Independence Day, and let's talk about something I got from the Institute for Family Studies. These are, I know we only got a few minutes left here, benefits to the family. higher levels of family income when there's a mom and a dad, reduced risks of poverty, increased time flexibility. How about benefits to the kids? Reduced rates of prematurity and infant mortality, fewer academic challenges, reduced risk-taking behavior, fewer behavioral challenges, fewer mental health challenges, better social functioning, and it goes on. Benefits to mom, fewer health problems, ability to offer a higher quality parenting. Benefits to dad, greater engagement in service organizations, decreased risky behaviors, decreased alcohol use, and it goes on. Basically, God created man, male, female, marriage, the family, and then society, community. A strong, healthy family is key to a healthy society, and it starts with God as creator. Once you remove God, you've got to take truth out of the equation. Biblical worldview is gone. This is what we have today, the residual effect, consequences of removing God and battling against God, marriage, the biblical worldview, the true family as God ordained it. Yeah, I don't have time to get into any more. A couple headlines, though, that I thought were interesting. 75% of Christians now oppose the Democrat Party because it's hostile toward the biblical worldview. That was a very fascinating article. So no wonder some of what we're seeing. Let's see. Okay, I don't have enough time to jump into these other articles, but you can get a lot of good information, friends. I want to offer my resource page on my website again over at davidfiorazzo.com. I've got over 200 resources, links to great organizations on history, on journalism, on education, on Bible prophecy, 200 plus for Christians, conservatives, and concerned citizens. I got through about half, maybe a third of what I wanted to get through because, as you know, these programs go by way too fast, especially when I've got an expert guest, and we've got more coming up next time with amazing guests. But it's because of you, your prayers, your financial contributions, also sharing is so important. I say that a lot. I don't mean to be redundant, but how do you think we get out there? How do you think people find out about us? We don't do any advertising. So your sharing the podcast helps us reach more people and come up in their news feeds and wherever else they see Worldview Matters. So thank you again. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.